This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Paul Hamilton.
I just love this reggae music. It's my favorite of all time. I wish they would just play this on autopilot, never turn it off. It's just so great. I love it so much.
He keeps the people coming back for more.
Super excited, and I might just add this. I've missed Paul Hamilton, and that's the reason I'm back.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
We had some fun an hour ago, thanks to Sneaky Joe, who, as on the occasion of the Sabres playing in for them a new arena tonight, an arena for the first time, the Delta Center in Utah, Joe went ahead, how's this, and looked up every facility they've ever played in, the Sabres. If you want to hear us marvel at that, to put it one way, on the Odyssey app from an hour ago is when it came up. And then he, at the same time, tweeted a spreadsheet with every arena name, city, opponent, years, and the Sabres record listed alphabetically, starting with the Arco Arena in Sacramento in a season where the league put teams in like non-NHL markets to maybe test them. So the Sabres played a game against Pittsburgh in November of 93 in Sacramento, California. They lost, and it's all right here. You can find it on Twitter, what Joe tweeted out. And I was thinking, here's Paul joining us now on the West Her Hotline. Paul, you would not have all 82 of these, but, I mean, you would have most, right? Although the like, arenas in the 70s and 80s, I mean, you could have been there on your own, but, you know, some of the, like, the Rockies and places like that, I don't know if you would ever have gotten there necessarily.
Yeah, no, I never really started traveling till the mid-90s, so... That's where it would have started.
Right. And that's by around then, the league was starting to, like, new buildings were, the Sabres building, a part of it, 96.
So, right. That's like, right around the time when a lot of the changes were, like, Montreal, Boston, Toronto was 99. So how do you have, like, a favorite that you went to of the buildings that are not around anymore, maybe? Other than the odd?
Forum in Montreal, probably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was pretty cool. Boston Garden was pretty cool. So I think those two would be
Ever get to any of the older ones in Western Canada? Edmonton, maybe. Like that building last year.
Northlands Coliseum.
Northlands last year.
Northlands Coliseum. I was at the Corral for a practice, not a game, in Calgary.
Is that right? Okay. We liked that one. We liked that one.
Right.
The Stampede Corral.
Yeah, but I never saw a game there. And, yeah, so that's...
Yep.
And then Winnipeg is just, newer building right now.
Replacing the Winnipeg Arena. You would have gotten to the Winnipeg Arena. What was that like?
No.
You never? Didn't get there? No.
Mm-mm.
By the time you started traveling, when did they move?
Oh, that's 96.
Yeah, they left and then they came back and they had the new place. So
Atlanta.
Yeah.
All right.
Atlanta, I was at where the Thrashers played.
Yep. It's a great list. Anybody wants to look at this, right. Find it from Joe on Twitter. Really cool. Including, of course, a couple of stadiums. And Hamilton, Paul. Paul Hamilton. The Sabres played a couple of games in Hamilton in the 90s. And then also, as Bulldog reminded me, I wasn't thinking of it,
an
outdoor game there.
Right. Yep.
Outdoor game there, and I was covering the series that Mario Lemieux scored that iconic goal in Hamilton.
Yes.
With Gretzky and Lemieux, when Howardchuk won the draw, Murphy was with them on the rush. And that probably is the most excited and loudest I have ever been in the building was when that goal went in.
87, I think, for that.
Yep.
So tonight, the Delta Center in Utah, Sabres and Hockey Club coming up with pregame at 8. We won't be here for the pregame show for the game tonight, so we wanted to fit you in here earlier. And the Sabres have won their last couple, the game in Boston, right, after the win against the Avs. Now, did they come home after Boston, Paul?
No. Golden Knights.
They stayed overnight, then left in the morning, and went to Utah after that, then practiced on Wednesday and have a game today.
What do you make, Paul, of them sort of leaning into finishing strong? I mean, I don't want them to just like, not try, obviously, but you know, so much about our existence as fans and observers of this team, I'll include media for this point too, it's sort of repetitive and fatiguing. And we get to this part of the year, and I know, you know, we talked to you before the Boston game on pregame, but Lindy's talking about, you know, they're having conversations about how to be a team and, you know, being a good teammate on and off the ice, and you don't all be friends, you know. Lindy makes a point about all these years in, and not everyone's going to like one another on the team, but you got 3 hours you're on the ice in a game, you know, you better have everybody's back and all that kind of talk, and whatever the results will be from here to the finish line, I feel like every year we get some version of, you know, well, we're trying to figure out, you know, who we can be and what we can be, and I don't know, like, on one hand I want to respect them leaning into putting forth an effort here, on the other, it's irrelevant to what they're going to look like in October, as far as I'm concerned, because it'll be a whole new season where the standings will once again be relevant, and I feel like we've seen this team fold under that numerous times.
Yeah, well, it's all they've got.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all they've got to look at, to be quite honest. You know, they're not going to make the playoffs, so, you know, all they can do is sit there and talk about, you know, becoming the team that Lindy Ruff wanted them to be that they never were. And, you know, so, you know, it's right. really all they have to talk about. They don't have anything else to talk about. It's a shame that it took, you know, Thompson to be laying on the ice and everybody standing there watching to, you know, for them to start maybe coming together as a team. And that's what Lindy Ruff talked about. It's not only that, you know, that they're all at the scrums now and they're all there for each other. And, you know, when he talked about you don't always like your teammate, but you better be there for him because that's what makes a good teammate. But he also talked about, yeah, they're there to back each other up in the scrums, but they need to be there to back each other up on the ice too. And he used a play by Krebs, you know, where Krebs really busted it to get back to break up a two-on-one after there was a bad giveaway. And he said, that's a teammate. He goes, you know, the teammate made a bad play. He was there to get back. He hustled as hard as he could, and he helped bail that teammate out. He goes, that's what I'm talking about. He goes, if guys are doing that, he goes, then you've got the starting of a real team.
Yeah. Funny enough, you mentioned Krebs. Mike and I talked about him briefly. I don't think it was during your portion of our show on Monday before that Bruins game. But he, is there more there or what? Like, what is he? What could he be? And I said something to the effect of, I think this is who he is. I mean, there's skill in there, but I don't know if it's all going to ever really come out. He's had opportunities on, you know, bigger, you know, more offensively minded lines with different teammates. Then he goes and snipes a power play goal.
Yep.
Right away, just like, oh man, I got the touch right here. I'm magic. What do you think about Krebs? Like, moving forward, is he just, in your eyes, what he's been so far, or do you think that there is still room for growth?
I think basically what you see is what you get offensively. He has had opportunity on some offensive lines. He, you know, came in, he was drafted as a gifted passer, and every now and then you see that, but, you know, it just, he doesn't seem to click for him. I mean, if you're asking me as a number one pick, I don't see it. I would say it's a bust, but as a useful NHL player that you can use in your bottom six and you know, is going to give you everything he has and is going to help you that way, yeah. You know, I think of when I'm talking about that, I think of Zemgus Girgensons, who to me is a bust, but he's played a long time in the league, and he's a bust as a number one pick. I don't think he's a total bust as an NHL player.
He's had a nice career. Yeah.
Right, he's had a nice career. He's just a bust as a number one pick, and I think that's where I land with Krebs.
Paul Hamilton on the West Her hotline.
As far as you know, Paul, does Krebs embrace that, or is he a guy? I mean, I think I know the answer. I think his play, the way his style of play, how he's adapted, I think maybe tells the story. The thing you mentioned earlier about Lindy mentioning him busting it to get back on the 2-on-1, always being willing to jump in for teammates, or even just sometimes having a screw loose enough to want to just fight somebody just for the hell of it. He's kind of that guy. I feel like he maybe is a guy, and this can be a struggle for number one picks, guys that, you know, scored 100 points or whatever in junior and end up being role players in the NHL. Do you know different? Like, is he someone who feels like he hasn't gotten the chance, or do you think he embraces what he's got?
Both. I think he feels he could get a better chance to show what he, you know, he would probably say he hasn't had enough chance with guys who have that kind of talent. So I think he would feel that he still has that offense in him and has the opportunity to do it. But I think he has also embraced the rest of it. He knew in order to be an NHL player, he had to improve his defense. It wasn't good when he came into the league, and he did that. And, you know, used what he had to do that. And one of the things he did is become a little bit of a pain in the rear end. You know, and sit there and he yaks at people, and he's not afraid. I mean, he wasn't, you know, when they were having a problem after, you know, you had Thompson laying on the ice, Peyton Krebs wasn't your problem.
No.
You know, Dennis Gilbert wasn't your problem. There were a lot of other problems hanging around that locker room, but it wasn't those two. I mean, those two would always be there for a teammate no matter what.
Paul, what is the status with Josh Norris? Like, is he played and then he went out, and I've heard sort of what to me is kind of like mixed messages on, was he hurt coming in? I know part of his story has been the shoulder injuries. What's the timeline of all this?
Well, I think, you know, Kevin Adams was talking to you guys about, you know, how they went about it with doctors. Mm-hmm. And where Ottawa's doctor and Buffalo's doctor actually conversed, you know, and he told you guys that that is normal. You know, when you get to that point of a trade, then they will show you medical records and they will let you talk to the doctor. So with that in mind, I would say that the Sabres probably knew about this, you know, when the trade was made, because they had said that it's something that he had been dealing with. He hadn't been here that long. So I would guess that it's something they knew about, and all right, well,
we're willing to inherit anyway, it.
Thinking that it's going to get better whenever.
Is he back tonight? Do we know?
No, he's not. I know he didn't practice yesterday,
but so, he is on he's on the trip though. Right?
He's on the trip.
Yeah.
So Lindy, I watched the interview from yesterday and he said something like, it's not going as quickly as we wanted it to, kind of the same words he used for Zucker.
Yep.
But he is there. He's hoping to get him on the ice by the end of the week. Well, that would be tomorrow. You know, that's the end of the week. But he didn't really say, you know, when he would be ready for a game.
Okay.
Kulik's not even there.
Right.
I mean, he's in concussion protocol, and from what I heard yesterday, Paterka will play tonight.
All right. Well, what do you think of Utah as an NHL destination, Paul?
Got to get there first.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, tough question to ask you. You're not on this
trip. Hoping to get there next year and kind of check it out. So everything I read is pretty good, but you know, I was, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, it seems like the fans have taken to it. And but again, I can't really say I haven't been there.
Oh, yeah. I know what I wanted to ask you about. Stupid Utah question.
Bryson.
Bryson. Right. I don't know. Like, he's their seventh or eighth defenseman. Like, did that need to happen? I mean, he's fine as a depth piece to me. I don't know if you view him differently. But I don't know. Another year of Bryce. I've got a tweet from the Sabres. I don't know. But I don't.
If he's willing to agree to the deal, agree to the deal. That's fine. But yeah, you're right. He's got to be your seventh or eighth defenseman. I mean, they have to become better defensively. And I'm not blaming him at all. Actually, I think he's been fine. He hasn't bothered me playing D.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I do like about him is he keeps himself ready. He can sit for 3-4 weeks and be ready to play when they call upon him. And that's what they need out of him. I don't think they need him in their top six. But, you know, if you got an injury to your top six, there's not many guys that can do what he does and keep himself ready like that and can sit for 3-4 weeks and jump right into the lineup and play at a high level. So that's what I would be looking at. And it doesn't make any difference to me if they sign him now or this summer or whatever. If he's willing to agree to the deal, which is the same deal he had last year, fine, do it. I mean, but let's not force him into a role that, I mean, they need to revamp their defense, whether it's defensive play or, you
new
know,
players.
On defense. They're not getting it done. I mean, Lindy Ruff talked about, you know, the defense has to be better. It's non-negotiable. Well, it was negotiable with the players because it's gotten worse than last year. They're worse defensively than they were last year. So changes need to be made.
Paul, thanks. Enjoy the game.
No problem. Take care.
All right. So our dude Paul Hamilton on the West Hare Hotline. His appearances here on WGR are brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
I have an opinion on Utah being in the league. I've never been to Utah in my life, but I have an opinion about it.
All right.
I like it.
Good.
Arizona was what? Perennially doesn't draw, doesn't win. Goes hand in hand. They went to a college arena.
5,500 seats.
It was an embarrassment.
Yeah.
Always with ownership and the legislature in Phoenix trying to figure out, is there going to be a building? It was a perennial embarrassment. And, you know, you're a league. You don't want that. So we've got a great, maybe burgeoning market that has a pro sports
bright,
team
young
and an arena.
Ownership is very stable.
Like, it's a great move. It's, of course, sad for the fans of the team that left, as it always is, but I think it's a great move.
That's okay. The commissioner is they're talking to Arizona again still.
Yeah, of course.
They cannot quit Arizona. I don't know what the allure is there, but that's making the rounds. I heard actually Joe's come up a lot today. Text Joe, thank you for all the content today. But I heard he and Jer talking earlier today how the league is talking with maybe Houston, New Orleans, Atlanta's always sort of in the mix here too, even though they're two-time losers on this. I feel like there was another city that kind of surprised me, but I can't think of it now. But Arizona is always on the list. Like, I don't know, Quebec City can't get a return phone call. They've got a building they built for them to play in, but it's just sitting there. Arizona, let's go back to Arizona and try to find out a way that we can, we'll put an arena in, but it won't just be an arena. It'll be a entertainment hub with a casino and hotels and shopping and, oh my gosh. Just stop. It's Arizona.
I need you to stop.
Stop with Arizona.
You had your chance.
Anyway, I think Utah, I like Utah. I loved watching footage of the Sabres skating. They practiced at a facility that houses, I think it has two, an Olympic-sized hockey rink and a NHL-sized hockey rink inside of the Olympic speed skating oval. So I don't know if Lindy made them. I the way I read it was he encouraged the guy. The Sabres went out in their gear for practice and did a loop on the speed skating oval. And I love speed skating.
Oh.
So I got a kick out of seeing them doing that. A few of them even I saw had the gloves off and the hands behind them doing the classic stride, which is hard to do on hockey skates because those speed skates have those much longer blades, but still it was really cool to watch.
It's like maybe the first – Eric Heiden is maybe the first athlete I ever tried to emulate. And it was that – he had a yellow 1980 speed skating Olympics at Lake Placid. Might have won five. He had a – yellow suit with the hood, right? And I didn't have like a pond per se, but we had like a big puddle that would freeze in the yard. And I would skate on this, you know, quote pond.
Yep.
With one hand behind my back and swing the other arm and just
I mean, this.
I don't know. It would take not 5 seconds to go all the way around.
Right.
Without being fast, while being eight or nine.
Right, right.
Like, I'd just be out there right by the road, too. That's where the pond would sort of form, right out by the street. And I'd just be out there skating in circles, pretending to be Eric Heiden.
We had a stretch. There were places very close by we could walk to when we were kids to play on ponds and stuff. And it was really, really great. But my backyard, where my parents had a garden in the spring and summer, it was a little lower ground. And so water, I think it might even still do this, would like pool up from the yard behind ours. There was no fence. And water would pool up there. And it would be only about 3 feet wide, maybe, right? But it was the length of our backyard, which, you know, wasn't huge, but it was still, you know, you could get going full speed.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go out there with stupid little stick and gloves and my skates and back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You couldn't even really handle a puck on it, but I'd be with my stick anyway just because I'm a hockey player.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I can remember skating on that strip and my mother looking out the windows in the backyard like, ah, boys.
Right. That might be it. That might be the takeaway ultimately. Earlier today, and again, the game isn't until 9, pregame at 8, so more of Paul later tonight. But next, earlier today, we spoke with Jeremy Kahn, Baltimore radio host, about the Ravens, the playoff meeting with the Ravens and the Bills, and what is going to happen to Baltimore's roster in the upcoming season and the state of the AFC overall, including Cincinnati's moves of late. That's coming your way next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.